I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
Connecting the dots of the Constitution for you like no one else can. The Chris Ann Hall Show. American woman, listen what I say. She's an attorney, a disabled U.S. Army veteran, an author, public speaker, mother, pastor's wife, and a patriot. She's Chris Ann Hall.
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. Chris Ann Hall here, KRISANNEHALL.com. Liberty over security, principle over party, and truth over your favorite personality. Hey, everybody, welcome to the show. My husband and co-host, JC Hall, on this voting day. Welcome to the show, JC.
Thank you.
So, apparently, Mr. Hogg and some other students are trying to organize a student walkout for voting today. As if high school students, high school seniors need another reason to skip school, right? That's got to be what that's all about, because they don't have to polls are open until 7 o'clock at night. They don't have to skip school to vote, but it's just another excuse to skip school. I mean, seriously, when you were a high school senior, weren't you looking for a reason to skip school?
Sure.
So why David not? Hogg says, the voice of the young people in this country will be heard loud and clear when we cast our votes together. You will hear us marching to the polls, and you will see the impact we have when we cast our ballots. And we'll make this impact because we're not afraid to work together to make it happen. The youth movement isn't about one issue or one group. It's about working together for a better future.
Excuse me. He's a legend in his own mind.
I know, right? Seriously? Talk about grasping for publicity and attention. You know, I had some comments that rushed in my mind, but I'll leave them off the air. But nonetheless, come on now, people. Let's not make this more than what it is, a bunch of high school students that want to skip school.
Well, what it is, or what it should be, is a wake-up call to parents all over this nation that you have to teach your children what they're supposed to know.
Yeah.
Because I saw a video. They made a video with these students. Some girl was talking. They don't know anything. They don't know anything, but they're going to the polls to vote.
Yeah,
they
that's
know
wonderful.
They don't know nothing.
Oh, well, they know what their teachers taught them.
No, they know what, the latest celebrity told them.
Oh, well, that's true. And Rihanna said, you have to vote for Andrew Gillum because he's black.
Right.
Right.
No, the whole video was, so the girl said in the video about voting for freedom. Do you know what, how she defined freedom?
Oh, my goodness.
Freedom.
Do I want to know?
Freedom from climate change. So that's your youth movement.
Oh,
youth movement. That's the basis upon which they're voting.
See, JC, I don't know. Do you have thoughts when you lay in bed? Does your mind just sort of turn and you? I do intellectual acrobats as I try to fall asleep at night. Maybe that's part of what my problem is, trying to fall asleep. But I started.
Yeah, it's a good diagnosis.
But I started with this idea of all this thoughts about how people have the quote unquote right to vote. And I thought about that because this is really our problem in society, this differentiation between rights versus benefits. And I thought about this from a logical perspective, especially with the young people. Does a 12-year-old, can you legally arrest a 12-year-old for protesting and holding a sign on a street?
Depends on what they're doing.
Well, if they're peacefully protesting.
Like protesting?
Yes. Yeah, sure. Why, you can't arrest them, right?
I wouldn't think so.
No, because they have a right to freedom of speech. They have a right to protest. Now, mom and dad can stop them, right?
You shouldn't have the authority to arrest them.
Right. You shouldn't have the authority to arrest them. Okay, so does a 12-year-old have the right to protect himself or herself if they're being violently attacked?
Sure.
Do they have the right to protect themselves if they have, if someone is trying to steal their stuff?
Yes.
Okay. So they have a right to self-defense and a right to defend their property.
Their own property.
Does a police officer have a lawful authority to search a 12-year-old on the street without a warrant?
No.
No, so
or
they
parents
have
parents' permission
without or parents' permission, right? So they have a right to security in their person and their property, right?
Their own person,
their own property, right? But does the 12-year-old have a right to vote?
Nope.
No, because the right to vote is not a right,
and it's not their own property.
Voting
is making decisions that impacts everybody else.
Well, but not only that, voting is a privilege of citizenship.
Right.
You vote because you are a citizen of the city, of the county, of the state. You're a member of the a citizen of the state gives you the privilege to vote nationally. Right. And so that's really going to chap some people because then you start.
Neil Bortz used to have this conversation
all
the time.
I know.
That made everybody mad.
It makes people mad. But
that voting is not a right.
Voting is not a right. If it was a right, your 12-year-old would be able to do it.
Yeah. Well, you know, but that's the thing. You say, well, they're underage. Well, that's the whole point.
But even underage, they have the right to protest, a right to protect themselves.
But that all has to do with themselves.
Right.
My point is, there is an age limit on voting. So you have to ask, why is that? Because it's a decision-making process. You're essentially, you're controlling the government.
Right.
And you have to have a certain level of cognizance and understanding
exactly
to do that.
And that's why it's also a privilege of citizenship. Because if you're not a vested member of the society, if you are a transient, you are coming and going, you have no allegiance to that society, then you're not going to make a vote that is something that is for future generations. Remember, voting is about how government operates, not just today, but tomorrow. And so I was thinking about this, and again, I want to just say to people, look, this is what we cover at LibertyFirstUniversity.com. We've got to understand this difference between rights and benefits. And I know, because we, like you said, Neil Bortz used to have this conversation, and I knew how it chapped people's hides talking about that. But I think that's just simply a simple illustration of why of how we can recognize that voting is not a right. A right is something you possess absent of government. Can you vote if there is no government? No, I mean, what are you voting for?
Right.
If there is no government, so.
Well, this is one of those discussions that gets into, kind of points back toward Jim Crow voting laws, where you had literacy requirements and this and that. That, mm-hmm. And then they said that unfairly restricted minority voters. So, you know, where is that? I mean, it seems to me there ought to be a minimum. I don't know. How do you deal with that? I mean, to me, you have to be able to make decisions. And by the way, I'm not promoting literacy tests and Jim Crow voting laws. I'm just saying, where is the line, right? If it's not a right per se, but you have a right to participate. If you're of age, then you have a right to participate in self-governing, Right? You have a right to self-govern.
And that's where that comes to, right? It's about being a citizen, being self-governing, and this is not a natural right, but a right that comes through association. A right that comes when you are of legal age. Let's put it this way. If you can make a legally binding contract, you ought to be able to legally vote, right? In your society. And that's the kind of limitations that you have. But it is a benefit. It is a privilege conferred upon the people by the people themselves as a form of society.
But it ought to reflect back on society. Like when you see these kids, we're talking 1824 is what they're talking about, to get out and vote. You see them voting based upon such ignorance. Then this sort of points back to parents, families, communities, societies that
Because
you have an obligation to educate
absolutely
the citizens.
So the problem is not the privilege to vote. The problem is the ignorance of society. That's the problem.
Yes. Yeah, so
we don't need to change that. We need to change the way we educate people.
And so what I was, you know, pointing out with the Jim Crow voting laws, there's that sort of slippery slope where you fail. Well, I mean, obviously that was racial targeting, but I mean, just as a concept. So if you say, okay, you got to have these requirements or pass this test to be able to vote, it's sort of you running to government to make some law or some restriction because you as a parent, as a family, as a community, as a society have failed to meet your obligation to educate your children, your fellow citizens, right? So it's the same kind of thing where, okay, we failed, something broke, so now let's run to government. Because you do hear this. You hear people say, yeah, there ought to be some minimum requirement. You should all have to pass this and that. You know, and I do think, yeah, you ought to have that understanding. And as far as the, you know, passing the test, quote unquote, and having this knowledge, well, that ought to happen in the education system.
These children
ought to know this stuff by this time. By the time you're 18, you ought to understand these things. So it all this points back. What I'm saying is we have to be careful not to run to the wrong solutions, right? We run more government restrictions. It ought to shine the light, you know, like looking in the mirror.
Right.
Stop pointing your finger at the fact that, oh, government doesn't have these requirements. You should look in the mirror. It's we have failed. Let's fix ourselves.
Well, I did a show some time ago about, we talked about this. I'm pretty sure it was you and I together about how the illiteracy rate is higher now that we have a government mandated school than it was when parents were homeschooling and parents were, and communities were in charge of the schools. Welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. I certainly didn't mean to overturn any apple carts or open any can of worms here or whatever metaphor you want to put to that. I just simply wanted to reiterate that we have a situation here where people are conflating the terms rights and benefits and privileges. And there are certain things in society that are benefits and privileges of citizenship, and then there are things that are certain inalienable rights, and we need to know this. And JC, what you were talking about as we left the break is exactly what Samuel Adams said when he said, when the people become universally ignorant and debauched in their manners, we will sink underneath our own weight without the aid of foreign invaders. And that's what happens when we vote ignorantly.
Yeah.
As a people, when we raise our children with the ideologies of David Hogg, when we have young people who think that freedom means freedom from global warming, seriously, because and you have to go back, JC, where are they learning that? Who's feeding their heads with the fact that freedom equals freedom from global warming? Global warming imprisons you, I guess. I don't know. Right. Whatever. But then in the meantime, we miss the bigger fundamental rights issue. I know we were both looking at this article. A Texas man is arrested for allegedly firing a gun to scare off illegal immigrants in Texas. And so I did some research in this because this article really piqued my interest. First, it's about protecting your property, right? So that's what I thought. Well, why can't he protect his own property? So then I read down through the article. And the first article that I came to found out that he is a quote-unquote convicted felon. Do you know how many articles I actually had to read before I found out what his felony conviction actually was?
Well, you should have known right off the bat.
Right. Well, I should have known, but I wanted to actually, you know,
yeah.
Before we talked about it on air, I wanted to not have assumptions.
Right.
So here's the story.
20 plus years ago,
23,
by the way.
Yeah, in the 90s, I thought it said. I forgot. Anyway, he was felony convicted of
possession of a controlled substance.
So he was then sentenced to 23 years, which obviously a good portion of that is probation. And part of that, because he's a now convicted felon, he is not allowed to own firearms. Yeah, so in the 1990s, he was convicted of possession of a controlled substance.
So that's the whole crux of the matter.
Yeah.
The fact that he's a felon.
That's the whole thing. It's not that he was protecting his property. It's not because there were these people. See, what had happened was Border Patrol had chased these illegal immigrants onto his property. And the illegal immigrants were hiding under his porch and under a vehicle. I mean, they were on his property. Remember our word curtilage, right?
Yeah.
They were on his curtilage, which he has a right to protect and defend. That is his personal property.
But not if you committed a crime. Not if you were convicted of a crime 20 plus years ago.
Yeah. A convicted felon. Which, by the way, why I wanted to look at what he was convicted of. Because if he was convicted of attempted murder, if he was convicted of armed robbery,
right.
then I could possibly justify the rest of his life being disarmed,
right? Yeah.
But possession of a controlled substance in the 1990s, when he was in his 30s, how do you justify denying the man the right to protect his life and his property? I mean, we've seen what some of these illegal immigrants are doing to Border Patrol agents. Yeah. What would they do to a private citizen?
This is the conversation that makes the statist and nationalist mad.
Well,
They don't like this.
It doesn't matter. You've got to have this conversation because, look,
yeah.
The ease with which our criminal justice system deprives people of their rights for life means it could be you.
Criminal justice reform ought to be a bipartisan issue. It's typically not. On the whole, conservatives and Republicans have been trained to this word felon, right? It's kind of like animal training,
yes.
You know, to a word, sit. And so when they hear that, then, okay, you deserve all your rights taken. So here is a guy trying to protect his property, family.
His life.
His life from illegal criminal immigrants. And because they put the word felon on it, even though he's served his sentence, done his time, he's got no rights.
Love of our country as our ammunition. The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
I'm a long way from my home, and I'm going to change all the things about.
Welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. Chris Ann Hall here, KRISANNEHALL.com. Remember, learn your constitutional republic. Learn your liberties at libertyfirstuniversity.com.
I don't know if I finished that. Maybe the
bumper
got me.
JC, help us. Yeah, go ahead.
But yeah, no, I was saying this guy, it's 23, first off, 23-year sentence, okay?
So right.
And the guy's 56 years old.
Okay,
now,
let's also add this is a federal drug offense.
Yeah, and so...
So the federal government has no authority to create drug laws via the Constitution.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's another conversation. My question to this and to those, you know, staunch conservatives we always run into of, you say the word criminal or felon, and it's their brain shuts off, and everybody who has that label, just like, which is weird because remember Janet Napolitano and Obama was labeling conservatives domestic terrorists.
Right.
And just based on that label, then, you know, you have your rights stripped. And the conservatives weren't happy about that. But if the government puts the label felon on you, so many of conservatives and Republicans that we've run into, that's just automatic. They don't need to know anything about the details. You're a felon. You shouldn't have rights. That's it. And that's how a lot of the people we talk to think. I have a problem with that because what is a sentence? What does a sentence mean? If you say you have a 23-year sentence, okay, then that was his sentence. He went to prison. He spent 23 years there. He got out.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that his sentence? Well, apparently not. The sentence is forever. So you're okay with forever sentences. So how is it that you give a sentence? It seems like you've completed that, right?
Mm-hmm.
He served his time. He's out. You're now a free man. No, you're not a free man.
He's not free.
You're not free.
He did his time. It was convicted of controlled substance. And now because he's convicted of a felon, he's a second-class citizen for the rest of his life.
Correct.
Which means he cannot protect his own life. He cannot protect his own family. He cannot protect his own property. Here's the thing that really, really chaps me, right?
And by the way, in this incident, when you think about it, he actually committed no crime. He's being punished once again, mm-hmm. for a crime he committed in the 90s, because had he not been a convicted felon, he would not have been arrested. The police would not. I mean, none of this would be
just
going
to correct
forward.
This now. He was originally arrested for discharging a firearm in a municipality.
But point of fact, you know as well as I do.
Yeah.
First off, this is Brownville, Texas. You know as well as I do, being a former prosecutor, this would not have gone forward.
Well,
he not been a convicted felon,
it didn't
previously.
Go farther. It didn't go forward. They actually dropped the charges of unlawfully discharging a firearm in a municipality. They dropped those charges.
So that's my point.
Yeah,
he is not being punished for a crime that he committed in this incident that's described.
Right.
He's being punished again for the fact that he was convicted 20 plus years ago.
That's right.
Okay, that ought to be double jeopardy. You shouldn't be able to drop these other charges and say, well, it's too bad. We got to prosecute you here because you're a felon and you're not supposed to whatever.
Yeah, double jeopardy is not really the proper legal term for it, but there is a proper legal term for it. And I forget the English term
corrupt,
for it.
Immoral.
You know, here's the thing. Our founders overturned the idea that blood was could attach people to crimes, right? So back in the English law, if your father was convicted of certain crimes, the son could carry the punishment of that for the rest of his life. Our founders said we're not going to engage in that kind of process because that is a violation of due process. We're not going to have these bloodline convictions.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what this is. Now, his child is not going to suffer from this, technically speaking. But this is a lifelong bloodline conviction because he's never a free man again.
Yeah,
and discharging a firearm has absolutely nothing to do with the crime that he was convicted of.
Yeah, you can't tell me the family's not affected. You're gonna drag this guy off to prison again and destroy his livelihood and his life because and he didn't shoot. This is the thing. He didn't shoot anybody. He shot up in the air to scare these people off his property, which, by the way, the Border Patrol were the ones that chased these folks onto his property.
Right.
And okay, I want to just throw this out there because I think I ought to punch him in the face every time I get a chance, metaphorically speaking. Who are these prosecutors?
Right.
Federal prosecutors.
Jeff Sessions.
Who do they
employees.
Work for? Jeff Sessions. Thank you. He could stop it right now.
Yeah.
So here we are again. This is the thing. It's over and over again. All these Jeff Sessions lovers out there that Trump has done all of these things. Jeff Sessions has continually worked against those things that Trump supporters like.
Mm-hmm.
But yet so many of them still blindly support Jeff Sessions and talk about how great he is because somehow Trump appointed them, even though Trump said, I shouldn't have appointed this guy. And he's a knucklehead, right? But then he's not going to dismiss him because then it throws some sort of shadow over the Russian collusion investigation, all this stuff. That's the only reason he's remained in office. This guy,
that's
once
called
again,
blackmail.
Yeah. So once again, here is the Justice Department under Jeff Sessions prosecuting people for stuff they shouldn't be prosecuted for.
Stuff like this makes me wish I was Attorney General.
It's drugs because that's his thing.
Yeah, that's
his thing is
pet peeve
hang everybody from the gallows that has anything to do with drugs. Right. He's like the head of the Salem witch trials as far as the war on drugs. That's Jeff Sessions, this guy. So anything to do with that, he's going to be overzealous, over the top, and do things like this. No way this guy should be sitting in jail for firing a shot to scare.
Three shots to scare off people who had no lawful authority to be on his property, number one. Number two, they were hiding from law enforcement. Number three, how do you not judge for your own safety in a situation where you're watching videos on the news where these people are battering law enforcement who are armed at the time.
And now they're on your property.
Right? Yeah. They're lucky he did not shoot them.
Yeah, that's going to be the only difference between me and this guy.
Yeah.
I'm not shooting up in the air.
Right. I'm not going to take any chance that they're going to come at me.
I may not just blindly start shooting at these people, but I'm probably going to go confront these guys in some way and, you got to get off my property or I am going to shoot you.
Stuff like this makes me wish that I was the Attorney General, but can you imagine the politics with Chris Ann Hall, U.S. Attorney General?
No, but here's the deal.
They would crucify me.
Okay, but here's the deal, right? So you don't get attorney. No one Attorney General is going to change this,
mm-hmm.
All right? So in the big scheme, that doesn't matter. Who's the problem? The problem are the voters. The problem are the citizens.
Yeah.
And I would say, and I'm going to say specifically, you can get glad or get mad out there, specifically Republican conservatives, because they're the ones that support this kind of nonsense, this whole blind law and order.
Right.
We need criminal justice reform. The court system and the criminal justice system is an absolute mess, a cesspool of corruption. And the conservative Republicans have been absolutely trained like animals to respond to these terms to blindly support
hate
this
crimes.
Nonsense.
They'll get aggravated about hate crimes, but they won't get aggravated about somebody going to prison.
I get sick of hearing these responses. Oh, you shouldn't do drugs. You shouldn't have been running away. You should have done what the officer said. Hey, if you weren't hiding something. I mean, come on. I watched a video of this guy. The police officer pulls this man over. He says, get out your license. And then the guy goes to get out his license. The officer reaches and grabs his car door to open it like he's going to pull him out. Like, what are you doing? You just told the guy to get his license. And then the guy reaches up and puts his hand on the door when the officer is pulling his door open. The officer pulls out his gun and shoots the guy dead. Okay? And what do we get from our conservative friends? He should have been obeying orders. What orders? Get your license out is what he was doing. He shouldn't have grabbed the door. Okay, grabbing the door?
Yeah, the officer shouldn't have grabbed the door.
Grabbing the door is justification for public execution on the spot. See, this is the problem. This is why we don't get criminal justice reform. This is why people, citizens like that, get shot and killed by bad cops. And yes, bad cops exist. I don't think they're the majority. I think they are the exception. But the problem is we blindly support bad cops. And we blindly support bad laws,
because of this brainwashing. We have to support all law enforcement, no matter what they do. We have to support, you know, all these laws against drugs and this and that and this nonsense of, well, you should just be some sort of subservient slave. You should have done what you were told. You shouldn't have been doing this.
Well, that's
why this stuff continues.
Legally speaking, by both state and federal constitution, the fact that the officer tried to pull open the door is an unlawful search and seizure without a warrant.
But I want to be very clear. Let me say it very clear, and they can unfriend me. If I had Facebook, they could unFacebook me. They can get mad, okay? That officer is not the problem.
Yeah.
The officer that shot that guy is not the problem.
Right.
It's the voters who blindly support this nonsense and allow the media to manipulate us into camps, right? We want to react to Kaepernick, who I think is a buffoon, okay? But we want to react in the opposite direction to him. And so then when something bad happens, we can't call it out. We can't stand against it because then, oh, man, I can't support the same thing that Kaepernick supports. So this is not only that, we're blindly
How many times have you heard people bash me by saying, Chris Ann, why are you doing this? The ACLU
right.
agrees so, with you. Well, you know
so
what?
That's the whole thing.
It's the tribalism, once again, that is killing us.
And it's immorality. To me, that's immoral,
yeah.
right? You're basically, you know, it's idolatry, really, if you think about it. So I'm gonna agree with these guys because they wear a blue uniform. I'm gonna disagree with Kaepernick because he's a buffoon. No matter what, right? Without even examining what's going on, you know, or somebody says, oh, well, he uses drugs, so therefore I'm gonna be for what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
Or he's a felon. He's a criminal. He wasn't doing what he's told. He was running. Okay, that's immoral thinking.
Right.
You need to think about that person as a human being. You need to judge the what's going on in each of those situations. And it's also ignorant. It's you mean you're a slave yourself because you're allowing the media and all of these controllers who use this to divide people. They're doing it on purpose. And so they want you to react in your little camps, in your little tribes, because they use this as cover for future oppression. They're going to use this stuff against you eventually.
And our founders, the conservatives that you're talking about, who call themselves conservatives, would have thrown the founders under the bus as well.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal, here with my husband and co-host JC Hall. Hey, we are in our last segment, JC. You know,
this is one of those purge shows.
I know, right? Purge shows.
You purify your following.
Right, right. Because let's just mention the name James Otis Jr.
Yeah. What is your tagline again?
Liberty over security, principle over party, and truth over personality. Yeah. So, and we're true by it. And that's why I said, if, you know, a lot of people are lovingly tweet and post on Facebook, Chris Ann Hall for Attorney General, Chris Ann Hall for Supreme Court Justice. No, that would be an interesting kind of perspective. It would be a whole lot of fun. But I would be crucified because I wouldn't make anybody happy. Right. So if I were Attorney General of the United States, we would not be prosecuting federal gun laws. We would not be prosecuting federal drug crimes. We would not be prosecuting Amish farmers. We would not be prosecuting. We would not be collecting fees for farmers and ranchers to use their land and their water.
Nor would we be stripping people of their natural rights if they haven't committed a violent crime.
Yeah, and I mean seriously, where would we be in America if we actually felt and understood what liberty actually felt like? James Otis Jr. stood against unlawful searches and seizures of his government. He called them the worst form of arbitrary power ever seen in a law book. And he was not. See, that's the thing. We have this sort of glorified vision of 1776, like everybody in the colonies was in favor of independence, when that simply was not true. Hey, take a vacation to the Boston Tea Party Museum. When you go through the Boston Tea Party Museum, there is a little reenactment film that you watch at the end where you see the loyalists scorning those who were trying to fight for liberty, trying to fight for independence. And you get a little bit of understanding of the opposition, both physical and political and social, that our founders came up against. And James Otis Jr. worked for the government, resigned his post because of this kind of stuff that we're talking about today, openly condemned what they were doing, and was threatened by the people in his community, threatened by death by his government for challenging what they were doing unlawfully. And they, you know, I mean, he heard the same thing. What do you got to hide? What are you doing, right? If you were acting lawfully, you wouldn't be afraid of the government coming in and looking at your stuff. And Otis said, I don't have anything to hide. I have everything to preserve. It's about liberty.
That lawfully, the lawfully phrase, or legal, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference between marijuana and alcohol? Right? Both drugs. Both considered drugs.
Yeah.
What's the difference? One is legal. One was not legal. One is legal. So
Even tried to make alcohol illegal, and that didn't work out so well.
But that's the thing. If you want to say, you know, okay, this guy, these people should be stripped of their rights forever because they did drugs.
Well, here, let me ask you.
Everybody
take
drinks
this
a beer.
One step further.
Should have no rights.
Right. You take this one step further. What is the difference between marijuana and oxycodone?
Oxycodone, cotton.
Codon, cotton. They're two different drugs. Oxycodone, oxycodone. What's the difference?
The federal classification.
Well,
I mean,
absolutely.
Law,
one of them, the doctor can write a prescription. One of them, the pharmacies create. The other, you can grow in your backyard.
So that's, I mean, I don't know.
You want to talk about freedom?
Outside of violence, if you haven't committed a violent crime, I mean, what does that have to do with you being able to vote, being able to have a firearm?
Yeah, I mean, that's another thing, too.
Life.
So he's not only stripped of his right to protect himself, but now he can't vote either. So he can't be instrumental in changing the laws that create the situation of lifetime servitude. I mean, literally, he's sentenced to the rest of his life to be dependent upon someone else for his own life, liberty, and property. And that's slavery. That is absolutely slavery.
Enrique Fernandez, that's his name.
Yeah, Enrique Fernandez. Well, we're done with today's show. I'll just point everybody out to one last article. 99-year-old California woman born before women had the right to vote is a Fox News headline. Come on, people. She wasn't born before 1820. And we were voting. Ladies, we were voting in 1779. Let's just get our facts right, even on the conservative level. God bless you guys. We'll see you tomorrow. Go vote. It's the least you can do.